Hey everyone, welcome. Stunt Cranny Audio presents. This is We Watch Stuff 29, gang. And it's Jeremy and Shahid, which I don't remember if I introduced either one of us last time. So, if you're new to the show, I'm Jeremy, and the other guy about to talk is Shahid.
Hello everybody, I'm Shahid, and that was Jeremy.
There you go. So, two pretty distinct voices there. So, since there's nothing going on in the world of entertainment this weekend, or sports, really, which I'm sure some people disagree with, but I'm watching the Rockets currently dismantling the LA Clippers, which makes me happy. So, after what the LA Clippers did to poor Donald Sterling, I can't ever root for the Clippers. So,
you couldn't even say that with a straight face.
You know what? You know the sad part about that is, I was actually working that out in my head for the last, 30 minutes watching this game, trying to get through that. But, you know, if anyone knows the story of Donald Sterling, then they'll agree with me. So, so the big thing for us, though, as we left off of number 28 last week, is finally, after 3 years, almost 3 years, Mad Max Fury Road finally came out this weekend. That's what we're going to talk about. And if it's anything like the movie, you'll be exhausted by the end of this, or we'll be exhausted talking about it. So I don't know if we're even going to get into anything else this week. So there's that. Well, first, I don't even need to ask you how it was, because anybody who sees this movie and doesn't like it, don't you kind of have to question you just have to question that person, mind, body, and soul.
Well, if you didn't like the movie, then more likely you're not going to like an action movie. So, yeah. There it is.
Yeah, you don't like movies if you don't like this movie. There's never a reason to turn one of these on. That's how good this was. I had high expectations going in just based off of that goofy preview, which was actually the first chase scene, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They spliced in some of the chase scene at the end. And for those who haven't seen this yet, I don't know why you're listening to this, but the whole movie is basically one chase scene with a lull every 30 minutes, maybe, or 25 minutes. I was seriously trying to figure, time that out, because it starts off slow for, 5 minutes? Then Mad Max is captured, runs all over the place, and it immediately starts back up again. It never gives you a chance to slow down, which is
five,
really like
5 minutes, more like 30 seconds. They basically did the intro, and then he's being chased.
Being
chased, he's caught, and then they're chasing somebody else.
Yeah, he's turned into a blood bag, which, if there is a complaint in this movie, it is what it is. You just have to accept it, which I fully did. But they set up an intravenous line between blood bags, and they're going into what were the Warriors called?
War Boys.
So, I guess in the future, the Holocaust, whatever, has basically made all the blood the same?
No, they figured out that he was a universal donor. That's why he was so important. They found out his blood type.
Okay, that's my bad. I totally missed that part.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then. I apologize. That was my bad. I don't even know where to start with this, man. This is one of the most bizarre big-budget movies I've seen in a long time.
Okay, the fact, I can just start with just that. It was a $150 million budget for an R-rated movie that last came out 30 years ago.
Yeah,
you don't see, Mad Max Beyond Thunder though came out in 85. Yeah.
Back when Tina Turner was important, for those of our age.
Yeah. So, and it's just, we always talk about how, you know, they don't make big budget R-rated movies anymore. I don't think I've ever seen a movie like this with. I don't think I've ever seen a movie like this. First of all, just, you know, you usually see these, you know, batshit crazy movies. It's kind of like, you know, you get $10 million or $15 million, or maybe at most 30 or 35 instead of a lot. This budget was bigger than the Wolverine's budget, to put it in perspective.
Oh, well, yeah, that does actually.
Yeah, and that's by $30 million. And that's like, that was a Fox tentpole movie. So, and I think part of it was just, you know, it went over budget. I remember reading the story about, like, it went over budget because they kept having delays and delays and delays. Then they showed a preview. They showed, like, some footage to the studio. They're like, you know what? We're going to throw some more money at you. Do whatever you need to do. And that's when people start getting excited. When they had that first snippet, like last year, people were like, you know what? I want to get excited, but it looked like it was almost too good to be true. And that's everything you heard about the movie coming out, like, you know, I want to get excited, but it can't be like this. And that's basically what was like a 2-minute, batshit crazy, awesome action movie.
Mm-hmm. I was on Wikipedia, which is a, I don't know if Wikipedia is all that bad as I make it out to be, but in 2000, oh, I just lost it. In 2003, they actually started planning this, and the budget was $100 million in 2003. So that's how long this thing took. It finally started going finally started getting together at 2011. After so many delays, and Mel Gibson was actually attached to this at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously, with how he keeps messing up his professional career and personal life.
Yeah, like that and age. Like, between him going crazy and him aging out, it was just happens. Same thing. It's funny because I was comparing that with, like, Conan. They were talking about making this Conan movie for, you know, a zillion years. And I think they're eventually going to make it with Schwarzenegger, but... that's probably, they probably started doing that and Dirty Road around the same time. Yeah. So
I haven't heard anything about Conan.
Thing for about at least ever since he's not been governor. They've been waiting for him to not be governor anymore. That's been, yeah. So
I would have thought that Jason Momoa one would have killed off that whole thing. I understand it's Arnie getting back in the saddle with it, but still, that Jason Momoa movie was awful. And I maybe having Arnie in the character role again would get some butts in the seats, but I don't know, man. Even looking at that Terminator Genesis or whatever, that doesn't look that interesting to me. So I'm like, I know it's Arnold, but I don't know, man.
Yeah,
it's a hard sell.
Yeah, but, back to this, like, you know, so we can hear the stories behind it, we're waiting to see it. Like, you know, you didn't read any reviews or anything about it. I've read about some of the stunts, just talking about, you know, I think they said this had, they had like 3 different crews all working at the same time. Like, they had probably like the most cuts, like, ever, or among the most, because, like, that's how diligent they were was making this movie. Like, they took pride. Like, I think George Miller, like, you know what? I'm going to do everything I wanted to do that I didn't have the money to do before. I'm tired. You know, Babe was fine. Happy Feet was fine. But I'm ready to get back to what, you know, I want to do. And you could just... It's just amazing. Like, one of the things I just noticed, like, this is just a beautiful movie. And... we talk about stuff like, you know, Fast and Furious set the bar, but even, I don't even think it could touch this.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that was definitely something I was thinking during the movie. Because the last 3-4 Fast and Furious movies have been ridiculous. But they've always been kind of, not tongue-in-cheek, but there was, I don't mean to sound just like bagging on it, but the drama of Fast and the Furious is kind of missing. Like, when they killed off, like, one of the low-level main characters, it was shocking, sort of, but they gloss it over real fast, as we talked about. You're watching this, and I want to make sure I get her name right, because the names are pretty funny. When the Splendid Engelhard, She survives. He gives her the thumbs up. She falls, gets run over. That genuinely surprised me.
Yeah.
I didn't expect that at all, let alone what happens to her later on.
Yeah.
Which was brutal.
I think Nathan Jones is the only person enjoying that scene. So, and kudos to him for showing up again.
Yeah, well, him and the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the scene I'm referring to, again, if you haven't seen the movie, I don't know why you're listening, but the scene is she's pregnant, she basically defies death, but then slips and gets run over by the guzzle wagon. Is that what it was? Guzzrig? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The names are fantastic in this movie. So, hang on a second. I'm going to make sure I got my names list pulled up here. Immortan Joe gets her back, and she's breathing her last, so they cut the baby out, even though they can't hear a heartbeat, which I love the archaic way they were listening for a heartbeat.
Hey, was it a tuba, a trumpet?
That's what it seemed to be.
Hey, whatever
it was, the
works.
Mouthpiece. Yeah, so this doctor, and this is another thing we can get to, the doctor cuts it out, the baby's dead. He just pulls it out by the feet because it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show him snipping, or you hear him snip, and then he's like playing with the umbilical cord like it's a string.
Mm-hmm. Like you have to play jump rope.
Like it was nothing.
Yeah, and then they bring, like, you know, he was a perfect boy in every single way, besides the fact that he died.
Yeah, and he was perfect in every way. So, was he?
I had a baby brother.
Mm-hmm. And now, was that the first time they recognized that he was that Erectus Erectus, which is...
No, was his son? No, because it was him, that fat, whatever that was controlling...
Okay, that was... Yeah. Okay, okay.
Yeah, they were both his sons.
Okay, another just, what the hell is that sort of moment in this? And there, I think that's a great way as a compliment for this movie. What the hell was that?
Yeah.
Because there's so much of that in here. He was, I don't even know what his name was.
I don't remember his name. So it's a lot of people like that you remember, you know, like the accountant that was complaining about the cost, and you need like five people to get him in his car because like he was all foot. Like he went from foot to torso.
He had elephantitis of the calves and feet.
Yes.
Just for no reason, though. And that I understand this is supposed to be like the end of the world apocalypse sort of thing, and it was nuclear fallout. But there were so many of those things. Like, that was totally out of the blue. And they're driving through what was the Greenland, or the Greenland, mm-hmm. and there are people walking on sticks, or things walking on sticks through it. And I'm like, I want to know more about those.
I guess it was just so much stuff going on. It's kind of like, you know what? Usually movies spend half the time explaining everything, and he was like, I'm just going to show you, either figure it out, and if you figure out, great. If you don't, then it's cool looking.
Yeah, it's really, well, it's also one of those things like, well, I don't have time to explain all this stuff, so just deal with it. I mean, you're watching a movie where the lead character in the beginning has long-ass hair, a giant beard, and he eats a two-headed, lizard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like raw. So, you know, and then he gets chased down in his souped up car by a bunch of other souped up cars in the desert. So if you're really going to start worrying about all this other stuff, man, this isn't the movie for you.
Yeah. Like, I mean, he explained like the whole 30 second, like the world is falling, blood and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm crazy, who's crazy to be in the world. You see me have flashbacks. He used to live and then he runs, and like the movie starts. Can we? Okay, so I always like Tom Hardy because I want to play, you know, what voice will he use in this movie? Because he's known for his accent, so to speak. First of all, he probably had maybe what, 12 lines?
His
at most.
The largest part of dialogue he had was the beginning where he was explaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then here and there, it was only a few sentences. I mean, he spent the first, 30, 45 minutes of the movie with a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, eventually, as, you know, he starts seeing Charlize Theron or was there Imperator
Furiosa?
An equal, you know, and not as a not as a threat to him, but as an equal. Then he started opening up a little bit and talking. So, you know, it. But I don't remember him talking much in the other movies.
Yeah, it was like, well, I haven't seen him in so long because I can't remember.
Yeah.
It's just funny, like, who would he talk to? So it makes sense, like, he wouldn't be talking a lot because he's, man, he's first, some guys using him as, like, a, you know, a blood bank. He's not going to have a conversation with him besides, you know, that's my head. Watch out whenever he's shooting. And then you just see a bunch of girls. You just want to drink some water. And it just goes like, yeah, like one little monologue about how to get back. And even then, that lasts about maybe four lines, five lines. Mm-hmm. But it's no, like, you know, bleed my heart out stuff. And I like that because it's kind of like it fit the character. And it wasn't, it was a movie where, you know, it's called Mad Max, but he's not really the main character of the movie. It's just kind of like he's there. We're seeing it through his eyes. But it's not like that. Enough, it's not about him.
Well, no, it wasn't. All right, I guess this is a nice turning point to it to get into some people's criticism or take on it. Now, I had heard all the feminist rumbling about this and how Mad Max was a secondary character in that. It started off that way for sure. I mean, you got his few moments where he's getting chased by the war boys, and then, you know, he's basically strapped to the front of a car for that entire first scene. Mm-hmm. But then after that, I mean, he's a pretty pivotal role in the whole movie. And, like, I made the mistake of seeing some of the headlines and read something about how it's a feminist take on it's. Feminism, and I'm like, all right. So watching this movie, I half expected them to just boss Max around, like have him play a next to nothing role in this movie, and none of that came true. I mean, they even started working in unison, mm-hmm. and in any sort of survival mode, I mean, he was shooting the big gun, and he kept missing because that wasn't.
I was about to bring this part up. I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it wasn't his weapon. So he hands it over to the person who does know how to fire it. That's just survival.
Wait, not only that, this to show how, like, he doesn't care about ego and like that. He's basically like using, like, he's a gun stand because she's sitting mm-hmm. the gun on his shoulder to hold the gun and saying, "Don't move." He's like, "Do what you need to do."
Yeah.
I think the feminism part came in, like, not it wasn't beat you over the head, but it's just because it's so completely different from how action movies are set out to be. And that's what bothered people because, you know, the whole, they call it the Bechdel test. If you have two women that have a conversation talking to each other and don't talk about a man, like most movies don't pass that. And this one, you have a whole damn group of women talking to each other and they just talking to each other about each other. And, like, you know, it's not like they're ignoring Max, but it's kind of like, you know, he's there, but it's not like the world's revolving around. Like, if you want to roll with us, roll with us. Be a team. But it's all not, like, you know, he learns about the whole thing where I can only do so much by myself. But if we're going to survive, it's going to be a team. And whatever. He's like, I don't give a damn. I'm just, like, let's get to it. And she's the same way. But, you know, people are like, oh, it's 2015, and they got to make the movie about Charlize Theron, and it gotta be a woman thing. Like, you know, they blame the men for all the mistakes. Like, that's the thing I got the complaint from, and I can understand where it came from. I still think it's stupid, but their mindset was, you know, the movie showing, like, the women were the smart characters in the movie, using common sense, like, using violence when necessary, but using common sense and compassion when need be. Men are the reason why the world's all jacked up, and most of the men were acting like idiots, beside Max.
Well, see, I don't know. Yeah, because all the crooked authority figures, if you want to, or warlords, sorry, same thing, really. All the warlords were men, but they were also freaks. I mean, there was all freaks of nature in that. And I don't know. I guess I could make that jump to the men screwed everything up. I mean, they never really do explain in these movies how the world fell apart the way it did. But then. to counter that, where the women use compassion and use common sense, why the fuck are they still in the desert then?
There's nothing around.
Yeah, and well, but that's what she was saying. There's all these bikes we can go across. We got 160 miles on these bikes or whatever. And I'm like, why are those chicks just hanging out over there? You know what I mean? Like, the ones naked on top of the tower? Like, what were they... I mean, I guess that was a trap.
Yeah, I suppose. That's exactly what it was. Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to figure out what would that have accomplished? Like, Charlize Theron even said, I'm used to this, or I remember this. So clearly they're staying in the same area where there wasn't dick around.
It must have been enough where people coming out... It must have been enough out there for them to survive. I guess, you know, people come out there... Oh, look, girl with titties. And boom, scavenger. Now I got bullets. Now I got whatever. So, like, it's probably not the first time they pulled that, but it's the first time someone used to be there, live there. But I get... I don't... When I was looking out, I wasn't thinking like I was getting beat over the head with a vagina. But... I can understand if I had a certain mindset why people would say what they say. I didn't have a problem with how they portrayed the females and the males because it made sense. And I liked how it was more show than tell. Like, because when you describe the movies, like, you know, she's escaping with these five, you know, his brides, and there's all these beautiful women who never been out in the sun and everything like that. So you think you're going to see a bunch of sexual violence and stuff. First time you really see them all together, it's like the joke, oh, they're washing off the water. And, like, it was like a Sports Illustrated scene.
Yes, but that then, was kind of weird.
Yeah, but there was kind of like, you know, that's a thing. But then they're taking off the chastity belts.
Okay. Those were some of the funniest but scariest chastity belts ever. With the mouth with the razor-sharp teeth, all that sort of stuff. That cracked me up. But, yeah, when they started hosing off, I'm like... Why are they doing this? Like, okay, that's kind of weird. And I guess that was a way to make it like, all right, well, they are women, but it's like I don't know. I didn't get that part. Like, I know they were taking the chastity belts off and all that stuff, but I guess it would have been nice if they were explained like they were rinsing off fuel or something. I mean, I don't know. That part did strike me odd, but it also.
They probably never had physical activity in the lab before, and they hide under a dirty ass truck. So they used to being clean.
No, so that's true. Yeah.
Remember talking about how pampered, you know, they were making a big deal about how pampered they were and everything. Like, you see most of the chicks, they missing teeth, eyes, legs. Like, you see Charlize Theron, she got a bust cut and a robotic arm. And just those crazy ass eyes, and then you see five, you know, supermodels.
Yeah. Well, don't forget, you also had the Milk Maidens, or whatever they were called, that were not the five brides.
Yes.
So what I was trying to think of was, is that what the brides become later? Once they've had a kid, he just throws them over there, and because they made the point of saying those were the favorites. So I'm wondering if those other, if the Milk Maidens, what I'm going to call them, if they used to be brides.
Yeah, maybe and 20 back in the day.
Yeah, and he's like, well, you guys got fat later, which is a pretty awesome thing to be able to do. So,
yeah, it's kind of like, it's the one thing they pay attention to, maybe, you know, like, it's basically, you know, like, the populace was a mix, but as far as he went, it was all men beside his wives and milkers.
Yeah, all right, we'll go with milkers, too, if that's easier, it's quicker to say. Yeah, I thought that was an interesting thing that he did, too. He was surrounded himself, and we're talking about Immortan Joe, which I know we're kind of all over right now, but Immortan Joe surrounded himself with his weird little weird son, his large son who needed oxygen as well. He had a mask on, which I like the fact they never explained this stuff. Except, well, they didn't. This wasn't an explanation, but you knew as soon as that mask came on in the beginning of the movie, it was getting ripped off at the end of the movie. And boy, did it get ripped off in a very satisfactory way. But anyways, he surrounded himself with that. And then children all over the place were just...
slave labor.
Yeah. Like, so there's so many different things going on here. I mean, like, an abuse of power, sexual slavery, child slavery or labor,
Control the resources, because he's making a big deal about, you know, don't let greed or water consume you, and blah blah blah. It's real easy to say why he busy got, you know, cucumber salad, and they try to get like, and they're hoping to get like, you know, maybe I get a thimble of dirty ass water today.
Yeah. So here's water for a minute. Thanks everybody. And then now it's just muddy. So, yeah. I mean, there were so many socioeconomic themes running in this, which I guess, you know, kind of ran through the other ones, but it really stood out in this. Maybe we're just more heightened or more aware of it because we're older, and more of this stuff gets brought up as well. Seeing like everybody basically equal, the poor were equal. There was no, until they brought in his brothers, the other warlords, the guns and gasoline people. Not even an aristocracy. It was one guy runs it. That's it.
Yeah.
And you do what you're told, or I would assume you just get killed. So
yeah, like there's a few people had, like, you know, Charlize Theron, like Furiosa had power. They made a big deal about how important she was. And then later on, you see the brothers come in, I guess his sons had preferential treat. Like they get to drink, they got to drink milk.
Yeah, direct from the tap too.
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Hey.
Warm milk is gross. So I can't imagine.
Like I say, I doubt they have like ice maker running around anywhere. So
okay,
but
as an aside to that, real quick, we got a large drink there. I found halfway through the movie it was almost gone. Watching all of, and this isn't hack. I'm not even going for like a hack bit, but watching all that sand, desert, dust. I mean, just the dry conditions, like somehow, subconsciously, just made me want to drink as much as possible.
There's a
marketing thing there that they should have like the Max Super Gulp or something for like $10. It's too late now, but because Elise even pointed it out, she's like, "Yeah, you drank that thing quick." I was like, I don't know why.
Because everybody looks thirsty. It makes you look thirsty. You see a bunch of sand, dirt, everybody running around. So, like you say, you know, the movie starts. He's running. They figure out what's going on. So, they, you know, they plan a whole, like, war religion. Like, you know, there's no better way to, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die on a Fury Road and battle to get to Valhalla. That's why I need to get some blood and everything.
They brought in so many different aspects of different cultures. Like Valhalla, that's a Norse mythology. But then they gave themselves like Roman names.
Yeah.
Just bizarre stuff. And
fighting over steering wheels, like this is my ride. No, you can't ride me, you're too weak. I'm going to take my blood bank with me and everything. And you just see all these pale-faced guys with tumors, just no... You know, the whole suicide bombing philosophy, like, you know, I don't have any hope in life, so I'm going to find some type of, you know, worth, self-worth, and dying. But they don't do it in a way like they present it, and if you see it, you know what it is, but it's not like they beat you over the head with it, it's just, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you can draw it yourself if you want to, or you can just sit there and watch this insane 2-hour car chase, which is basically what all that was. And, but getting back, going way back to what we were talking about, with Mad Max barely being in it or being equals, you know, that is a departure from the other movies, but in that world they've built up, you need to depend on somebody else that you're done for. And that's what I thought they were trying to, that George Miller was trying to illustrate at the beginning, where he was by himself, he got in his car, and you're expecting, you know, the hero to get in his car, take off, elude everybody, wreck the whole thing. Where instead, he just got chased down rather easy.
Yeah.
And got taken captured or captive. So, the idea of like working in a team, I think, is one of the central themes of this. So that's why I didn't have a problem with it. Charlize, a woman, man, you know, whatever. If I wouldn't have seen all of the feminist talk, I wouldn't have even equated that. It would have been like, okay, this makes sense to me.
Because you're a man with common damn sense. You're not one of those, let me draw, take the blood, put the vagina on, man, take it off, draw.
You're getting really good at that, by the way.
Yeah, that you don't use hillbilly logic. Like,
yeah,
men are used to seeing action movies where a man's a man, and the woman's there to be saved, and the man isn't. Even the woman's there to be saved, or the woman's there to die, so the man avenger.
Yeah.
You know, especially like a character like Mad Max, you know, they remember Mel Gibson with a leather jacket and his car being a badass.
Yeah.
And then you see Charlize Theron with a, you know, iron arm, not taking any garbage, being the most practical person in the movie, just kicking ass. And Max Everon. Like, it's a movie where when you have a flat tire engine problem, you don't stop the truck.
That was incredible. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, like, you strap on, like, okay, I got a tire and left engine. I'll be right back. And they're just driving now. And it happened twice. Like, first time she's doing like, I'm talking about to do some maintenance.
Yep.
I'm like, okay. And then they're just driving. She's just there hooked up. Like, oh, no problem. And then they do it the second time in a fight. Like, you know how to fix it. Yeah, I'll be right back.
And I don't know. I guess, I know what you're saying about being reasonable, rational, whatever. But that's how I would always expect things to work out. Like, so if it would have actually made less sense if there would have been a back and forth in this movie where she's like, I'm going to go out there and fix it. And they would have had a 5-minute argument about why it's important for this person or this person to stay. Or, you know, I'm stronger than you. I know how to do this. I used to work on rigs all the time. Or is it, well, my dad raised me. I mean, something like that usually happens. And maybe, I don't know, maybe some of these movies I'm watching aren't having these conversations now. So that when it didn't come up in this, I didn't think of it. So, like, thinking of it now, that would have totally taken you out of the movie.
But most people aren't watching the movies like you watch. They're used to seeing, like, you know, I got to fix the truck. You can't do it!
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my dad just did this and all this stuff. And if anybody going to do it, we got to do it. And then somebody sneak a kiss. And they go ahead and do it. Like, we got time for that in this movie. It's like, I won't fix the truck. All right, give me a gun. Like, even they use the wives. Like, you get the bullets. I can do this. I can do that. I want to talk about the first chase when they're going and that sandstorm pop up. And the first thing that popped in my head is like, it looked like they're driving through hell. Like, I have never, it was just first you see a still shot. Like, you see it and you see this, you know, perspective where you can see the whole thing and just let you look at it for like 10-15 seconds, and I'm sitting there with my mouth dropped like, this is just beautiful. And then you see them go through it, and you see them, a truck just flying through it, like people flying through the air on fire. I'm like, this is batshit insane.
Well, before we even get to that though, you've got that whole run up and you've got guys jumping off of spiked semis that are made out of a Volkswagen bug front,
mm-hmm.
I'm not a car person, but they got like 6 tubes blowing fire out the side of them. One truck is basically just the music truck, like basically with the old stupid war stuff where they used to line up in front of each other and then run at each other. I mean, you've got the guys, you got those 4 or 5 guys playing drums, giant timpani drums.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the coolest character in the movie, which I mean, dead serious here. I want more of Mook. Or, his name was Mook, right?
Doof.
That was it. Yes. I'm sorry. His actual full name is Coma Doof Warrior. And for those who don't know, just in case, he's the dude playing the 8-string or 6-string guitar that blows fire out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
know. And he had his own drums, because you talking about how the people playing the drums. They played on the back of his truck.
Yes.
And then he just fronted this full of them. So you got 4 drummers in the back, and then you got a row of amps and speakers, and you see him with a guitar shooting fire just
jamming
out. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, when some of the music coming, like, you can hear the music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like playing to the, like, it's not like he's just there just, you know, stringing a guitar. Like, no, you hear the music he's playing, and it fits the movie. And it's like, this is just insane.
Well, that's why the one link I sent you, the guy playing it, his name's Iota, I guess, or Little Iota. He was really playing. the music really was coming from those speakers. So he was just up there jamming the whole time, and I guess yelling and singing and everything. I mean, so all you get is you've got all this other wacky shit going on, then you see this, they zoom around, and that was the other thing, the use of either helicopter shots, crane shots, you know, the rolling cams, that you're right in the middle of the action, and it's not CGI. And that was remarkable, because you actually start from the back of that truck, see the guys playing drums, go around the front, and all of a sudden, there's this guy with his mother's face on his mask. I don't know if you even got a chance to read that.
Yeah.
But his helmet, he had his mom's skin on it. Just a detail that, why? Well, who cares? I mean, why would you even bother with that? But they did. Blowing fire, and then basically just whenever it was time to amp the troops up, he'd just lay a lick down and they'd just get fired up. Or spray silver spray paint in their mouth.
Yeah.
Which I've never huffed, but I didn't think huffing spray paint like that got you like that amped up. I thought it mellowed you out. But I really did want to see more of him in this movie. Because whenever he was on, and I told you, my theater wasn't too crowded, which I was worried about the numbers on this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he was on, people either started laughing, or you could hear him like rustle up, and like not cheer, but kind of like, yeah, there he is again.
Yeah, I remember the first time he popped up, he was saying like, what the fuck is this?
Yes.
And you just see, like, I knew he was in the movie because I saw the preview, but it's different when you actually see him, and you see the drums, and you just see him just rocking out, like, I'm like, this is on, like, I've already seen about 15 Strange Things, but this stands out.
Yeah, you've got the main bad guy has to put on a Bane mask on, basically. And for some reason, clear body armor.
Mm-hmm.
And then Charlize Theron has one arm, and the other, which never once did I obviously knew she was missing an arm, but I never once thought, well, that doesn't look right. It just became natural because everything else in this silly world. If she would have had two arms, it would have been very strange. Way less strange than having a robot, or not even a robotic arm, just a
metal arm.
Metal arm, yeah. But yeah, but this guy, when he dies at the end, I heard an audible like, "Aw," like no one wanted him to die.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That sucked. There's a story there, and apparently he's got an entire background.
Yeah, right. I'm sure. This is the type of thing where. Like, it's so much you could talk about. Like, where did they come from? How did, you know, how did Joe become Joe? Where did they get the wives? How they got the brothers? What happened to the Greenland? What happened to these old Leatherface grandmas on bikes that just can kick ass? Like, how did that start? Like, just everything. And then it's kind of like, you know, Max is there, and he's playing like, he's used to it, but it's still kind of like, you know, this is some crazy stuff going on. Like, he's strapped to a car. And like I said, somebody was throwing one of those rocket poles. And he's like, first thing that he says, like, watch it, you almost hit me.
Yeah.
And I just laugh because it's just, yeah, that's what you would say. Something ridiculous is this. Like, I know it's a ridiculous thing, but still, hey, be careful.
I liked when he was yelling at the guy driving his car. Well, not yelling, but he's like, that's my fucking car.
Yeah.
And then it gets destroyed, which usually in a movie like this, the main character would be like, oh, my car, you killed it. It was just nothing. Just we're in the middle of something. I can't even bother like having an emotion about it. I mean, as dumb as this is going to sound, it played out like you would expect if this sort of stuff was real, you know? As much as, you know, as real as something with guys jumping off of rigs with apparently mines or whatever on the end of spears, just throwing them at cars. A guy committing suicide but just jumping on top of one.
Yeah, or like you see when you see a Cadillac on tank treads, it's kind of like, yeah, you know what type of world you're in. And it was funny when they were stuck in the mud and Nux, Nicholas Holt, like, don't tie up to that thing, they're like a tree. Yeah, that thing. He'd never seen a tree before.
Yeah, that was interesting too. Like when he said thing, I'm like, it's a tree, jackass. I was like, oh, wow.
How would he know? He's never seen one.
All right, so that was one question I had though, because they show green back at the skull base. I don't even know what the hell it was called. The Citadel. Excuse me. They showed green, so you kind of think, well, wouldn't you have been able to figure out what that was, unless nobody told him?
No. And it was they've never seen it. Like, the War Boys have seen, like, Immortan Joe, and, like, people on the top floor, they know what grass is and cucumbers. These little, you know, radioactive soldier boys, all they know is cars, trucks, and gas. And dirty water. You think they ever been on the top floor? They made a big deal, like, when they're driving, and Joe glanced. He's like, he looked at me for like 2 seconds. He's about to crash his damn car. Mm-hmm.
And well, and then at the end, when he looks at him again, is for all the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's he brags up how he can do this the names are so ridiculous in this.
Morton Joe.
Yeah, Morton Joe. So he goes, all right, go. So he gets on there and then fails and then goes, screw it, I'm just going to be with these guys. Like,
he knows, like, I killed his favorite, you know, I'm responsible for his favorite girl. Yeah. They make a big deal about, you know, Max was going to stay at first. He's like, you think you're going to get sympathy like that, especially after what happened to his favorite, like, you shot his favorite girl. What do you think is going to happen to you? They made it out to be, like, you know, out of the five, she's the pregnant one, but she was kind of like the top one.
Well, and I guess that's what made her death more shocking. They killed a pregnant chick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the women, like, I did notice that he had one of every group. He had a black-haired chick, a red-haired chick, blonde-haired chick, brown hair, and he got one that's got, like, slightly darker skin than the others. One was, like, pale white. So I was like, well, that's pretty responsible of him, trying to, like, you know, tag up with each one, I suppose, and then I'm sure he's probably got a collection of others, but they said those are just the favorites. So the leader didn't have, like, basically, like, he didn't discriminate, I suppose. I guess.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I'm reading some of these names, like, you know, yeah. Brown skin, toast the noise.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know her name was Toast.
Yeah.
I didn't really get anyone's name in this movie. Nux.
I got a few. Yeah, like Nux Rictus, because he said his name twice.
Yeah.
I didn't know Splendid had a last. I just remember she was Splendid, Capable, Cheeto the Fragile. Lord have mercy.
Yeah, and the Nux's friend's name was Slit.
Yeah.
What was the other? Cheeto the Fragile.
Mm-hmm.
But not Cheetos, but this one's with a D. And then, yeah, the People Eater, Bullet Farmer, Doof Warrior.
The Organic Mechanic.
Yeah, I didn't get that one. What? All right. Miss Giddy. The Valkyrie, Keeper of Seeds.
Yeah, that's what she did.
Okay.
So she had the seeds, and then she had the anti-seeds,
yes.
Bullets.
So, yeah. So here's the part, if there was one thing that didn't resonate with me at all was the old ladies. Like, I know that they were there to show, like, you know, they can survive on their own and all this, but they, like, showed, like, the Keeper of Seeds die at the end, and she's all, you know, she's all happy and content, and I'm like, I don't give a fuck about this lady. I mean, I had little to no time at all with this person, so I didn't like how the majority, like, not a majority of time, but to me, too much time was spent on these new people who get picked off like crazy.
I mean, I think it was more to show a contrast of, like, how the women, and that's where the complaint came in, like, how the women handled the apocalypse compared to how these jackass guys were doing it. Like, you know, we try to make it work the best way we can, but at the end of the day, we know how to fight. Like, they were, when they were going back, they were kicking ass.
Yeah.
So, to be like a bunch of grandmas on motorcycles, more or less.
Well, except for the middle-aged chick that got naked.
They got ran over.
Ugh.
After the first time, almost getting ran over and ducking on the truck, So you're thinking, okay, maybe she'll survive. Like, nah, it's not that type of movie.
Nope, it certainly was. Everyone, I mean, no one came out of that pretty much unscathed. I mean, even only one of the brides, no, two of the brides died, right?
No, one.
Just the one.
One died, one got kidnapped, but she ended up getting saved. One kept talking about how I want to go back, and then you think she's going to betray him at the end because she's like, come get me riches, I want to go back.
Yeah. That got me because she showed no signs of changing, like of changing her attitude. She was just scared the whole time. So it made sense that, are you building your own car in the background? But, so when she jumped over, I figured, oh, you know, she's going to die now because she, you know, basically turned on the friends. So that was actually a nice surprise, and I think that just showed I was wrapped up in the movie, too.
Yeah.
Without thinking, like, oh, well, she's probably just going to turn on him. Because in that world, anything was possible. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah.
And then the redhead was all up with Nux trying to redeem, like, oh, he's gonna, like, he went from, you know, I'm this war boy going to get glory on the Fury Road to, oh, I messed up because I killed my boss, his favorite girl, to, oh, I guess I'm wrong with you guys.
Yeah,
and they all like, you know what? The hell with it, whatever.
Yeah, survival. I mean, and that's what it came down to. He knew he was dead, and I think, you know, from their perspective, they knew it too. Mm-hmm. Like, well, he ain't gonna do anything to harm us now because he's dead.
Yeah, even, and that's funny, the little thing where we talk about, they never explain illnesses, like, oh, you know, if the road doesn't get me, these tattoos, will, like, he had the tumors with the smiley face tattoos.
I pointed that out right before he went into it, about how he tattooed them and all that, so that cracked me up. I was like, what, just ridiculous little details like this, and that's what was all over this movie. Everything was meticulous, it was a meticulous chaos.
Yeah, like, you could see... All the, it's funny, like, we've been talking about all this wild stuff that's going on, but you could see everything. Like, you know, you saw exactly what's going on, you saw how they did it, and I think it gets to the point where it lulls you, like, you know, we see special effects and CGI and things like that, and it's like you're watching this not realizing that, for the most part, they're really doing this. Like, the crashes, like, I read how they did one of the crashes, and, like, the driver that was an original one, he was explaining, like, you know, we're going to run a truck into another truck. So we made it. So we made the truck in a way so it'll decelerate safely when it hits so I won't die. And like you said, this is like, this will be the best stunt I ever do. So I'm retired after this stunt.
Yeah, I know you just watch the stuff. And like when the guys are like jump, like, you know, obviously professional stunt guys, but they had, what, three different crews of 100 mm-hmm. stunt people each? Like, the unsung guys. Like, you're never going to know, and this is kind of stupid, but you're never going to know these guys' names, but without them, this movie never gets made, or we just get some garbage CGI stuff.
Yeah.
And I know you were talking about the storm, how beautiful it was. And, you know, obviously that was CGI, but it didn't matter. I mean, it was beautiful. You're looking at like a painting and just knowing that all the chaos that came before, now it's going to ramp up even more. And yeah, just crazy. It was crazy beautiful.
Yeah. Like even the stuff, like the little stuff, like when they were stuck in the mud and they're trying to figure out a way to get out. Like after, you know, after she takes the shot and Max is like, you know, I'm going to go ahead and blah, 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 blah. What if you don't come back? You keep running. And he goes there, you hear an explosion, he comes back with a bunch of guns and bullets and blood that's not his. They don't show any of the fight scene. Mm-hmm. They just accept, he went there, he handled business, let's go.
Yeah, and I kind of wish they would have shown, I'm sure maybe that was part of the story, but maybe that was part of budget too, or pacing for the movie. Like, I don't even know if they filmed that part, but...
I mean, it could have fit, like, a minute or two, because the movie wasn't that long. It was, like, what, 2 hours? So, I think it's just more kind of like the whole... It just fits in the dynamic of show, not tell. And yeah. Even then, I don't have to show you everything. Like, you fill in the blanks, you know what he can do. He did it.
And that's what cracked me up, though. The movie's 2 hours long. We were in that theater almost 2 hours and 45 minutes. The previews are, I thought they were supposed to be making those better. We looked, they had 20 minutes of previews before the movie. This is a total aside, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, they had like 3 or 4 minute commercial for the snack bar, the AMC club, this sort of thing. And so finally he goes, you ready for your movie's about to begin? And you heard somebody in the back of the theater go, about time. So we got a laugh, but like the movie itself is 2 hours, but you're already in that theater for almost three, just with the ridiculousness of all the other garbage that they give at you, and especially if you get there early. So I think the movie was just right in length, to where the movie itself, the movies now will suffer because of all the extras, you know, getting there early, commercials, the. Because remember, the movie doesn't start at 5:10. That was the time I saw it. The movie started at 5:40, I think.
For me, I think my trailers were there. Maybe it's 5, 6, and all of them I've seen before, except for like one. I think it was one new one I hadn't seen.
The trailers were pretty much all stuff I'd seen.
And man, Tomorrowland.
Nope.
Can't remember.
We only got one action preview, and that was the Terminator.
Oh, we got the Terminator. We got that too. We got like 3 or 4 action. I think one horror movie. Oh, some horror movie with Tom Hiddleston and somebody else. I don't know what was going on with that. So that was the first one we got.
Is it the new Guillermo del Toro one?
It might be.
Okay.
It was him, some girl, some lady. I can't remember who it was. I can look it up.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the face. I don't remember the name. But, like, in Victorian England or something like that.
Okay. So, yeah.
But, no. I feel the same thing. I remember one time it was, like, previews, like, lasted a half hour.
Yeah, it's... it takes away from the viewing experience. And if the movie was 2.5 hours long and you had 5 minutes of previews, then okay. But you can't do that stuff. So, and I think the movie suffers for it. I don't know if that's an original thought or not, but you know, cut it down so that your movie going experience is a little bit shorter, or just cut it down so that your movie going experience, they can actually flesh it out with you out without you going, oh my God, we're never getting out of here.
Yeah. And, I think it lucked out because it was only 2 hours. Like, that's more of an issue with these longer movies. Like, especially that's why I have seen only one out of the 6 Lord of the Rings movies. I've seen one in the movie theater. Because I am not seeing 20 to 30 minutes of previews and two and almost a 3 hour movie in the movie theater.
I saw all of them in the theater.
No, I watch them at home. I can hit pause and go to the bathroom. Like, I learned my lesson with King Kong. I did that, and I had my limit. If anything longer than 2 hours and 30 minutes, you better wrap it up.
Well, you better start training that bladder for next year's Superman. Civil War. Civil War is probably going to be 4 hours long, which we can talk about next show or the show after. But this, the 2 hours seemed good. There was no fat,
yeah.
And outside of maybe some of the old lady stuff, which, you know, I agree with what you're saying, but I just didn't. I had no emotional attachment to them. I'm like, okay, cool, because I've been riding with these other people for an hour and a half from the get-go. Like, not even, no introductions. It was, well, the Furioso's taking the Guzz truck, and there you go. And you knew she was hot shit because everyone was going crazy for her. So then, all right, so you've got your bad guy, you got your bad guy's henchman, which is his son, you got all the goofy white painted guys, and then you got Mad Max.
And then you have all these other guys. Come on, you got the guys on the bikes.
Yeah.
With the masks. And then you get with the Sonic the Hedgehog cars.
Yes. those were the Bullet guys, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Bullet Club. No, Bullet Farmers, excuse me. Bullet Club. AJ Styles and the fucking, what are those, the Young Bucks that suddenly attack. And the Young Bucks use a gun, shotgun, missile launcher, bazooka, nuclear bomb, and then finally put you away at the end, just in case. But they, But no, and then like then you meet the brides, and then Nux becomes pretty essential. So you've been riding with these people from the beginning, and then all of a sudden these old biddies show up, and you're like,
"Well, that's who are these people?" I think that's more like that's where you know Fury, like, what was her whole plan? Like, she wanted to get to this place because she remembered, and this is who she is, and this is more like her story. That's what all that was for. So
yeah.
It would make more sense. And that's the thing where people, I didn't have an issue with it, people complain like. That part has more weight if the movie's about her, and a lot of people act like the movie's about her, but it's a Mad Max movie, so they don't got nothing to do with this guy. He's looking like, he busy growling. I don't know what type of voice he was using. It was
just one of those. I think he was trying to give the warble like Mel Gibson had in those, because Mel Gibson didn't say much in those either. So. And it worked. I don't know. There's even the negative to me of the old lady stuff didn't nearly impact the movie at all. Going from 100% to 99% is still really good.
Yeah.
So, I wish there was more. Like, one of my favorite movies, like legit favorite movies, is Doomsday.
I like that too.
That movie is so crazy. But it's just incredibly fun to watch. I mean, the guy riding around with his dead girlfriend's head duct taped back onto her body. I mean, and that was clearly an homage to Road Warrior, obviously.
Yeah.
And then, so it was nice to see, like, the original kind of come back. And it's like nothing. It's not, and I'm not bagging these movies because I watch and enjoy them, but it's not another. It wasn't another Fast and the Furious. It wasn't an Avengers. It was R-rated. It wasn't that gory, really.
Yeah, you didn't. Well,
you didn't see much.
You saw. It was a lot of violence, but it wasn't a lot of blood stuff. You saw people like blowing up and getting run over by trucks.
Yeah.
But you know, like you see somebody. Oh, besides how Mr. Joe goes out. Yeah.
That was another fun audience moment when. They tied it up in the chains, and all of a sudden it just goes, whoosh, and it just you hear the sound. You don't really see it. You heard it.
I legitimately cringed.
Yes.
I was like, "Ooh, that's not me."
Yeah.
I grabbed my face.
Yes, that was because even though you knew it was coming, man, you just because well, it didn't. You didn't see it.
Yeah,
you saw kind
you
of
saw
a
the beginning, face. And then you heard it. So.
Yeah, and then they show at the end when he's dead with like his face, the mouth missing, basically. That was really gross, but
yeah, the type of movie where like the violence they show had weight because
yes.
It gave it weight. Like it wasn't. It's funny saying it wasn't a bunch of gratuitous violence. Like it was a lot of explosions and car chases like that, but it wasn't like a lot of like you know. Personal violence. You saw the fight between they were going at it. That fight was funny. The first fight between Furiosa and Max.
Yes, I'm
with Nux jumping in and the girls jumping in. That was just a fun ass fight because they were just fighting like they were just. I don't care if you're a girl. I'm gonna punch you in the face.
Yes,
with a
yes. Okay, and then I was trying to wrap. I was getting to wrap the show up, but we have to talk about that scene, which I wish we would talk about earlier because it. It actually kind of proved the point that everyone was in equal mode. Because it wasn't like, he wasn't standing back going, you're a woman, I'm not going to hit you. It was, I'm going to hit you, and just went right at it. She came at him, he came at her. He hit her in the face, and I was like, I didn't think
about it. Yeah, hit him in the face with a water hose.
Yes. And then he even gave her a nut shot.
Mm-hmm.
Which that kind of cracked me up. I mean,
the girl was jumping in, trying to string him with the chain. then Nux jumps in, trying to hand him the clip to the gun. It's kind of like they're working together because you know, like mutual info. It's like that's my blood bank, so I got protected. And then you know, they're just going at it. And then he grabs the gun, shoots her, you know, shoots four times, and then like that's it. Like the crew, like I'm not trying to kill you. I just want to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I was like, I could have.
Yeah.
But, you know, but again, the survival thing kicks in. And you would think, like, in this sort of environment, that's exactly how it would go. But, and that's what I always bring up with, like, Walking Dead, like, how people can't just work. But, whatever. I mean, if they did, then there'd be no show. But, But yeah, that kind of went to like it, if anything, that was kind of I don't know if it's anti-feminism, if you want to put it that way, because I never go into these movies looking for that sort of stuff anyways. I don't go in looking for that. Well, look at the deep meaning here is that she's an equal to him. But now that it was pointed out, I'm like, oh, I guess I can see what people are talking about. You just want something good and something that hasn't been done before. To where even this movie's, you know, this concept, you know, of the apocalyptic world obviously has been done before. The director did it three other times. But you're seeing it again, and it's been so long since you've had something like this. Like, a good R-rated fare that was violent, yes. It wasn't over-the-top gory, and they swore a little bit in the beginning. But it still felt, it felt adult. It didn't feel like it was insulting your intelligence. It was, they're going to get gas, she's got the wives in the back, they get to where they're going, it's not there, and then they decide to change plans and go back.
Yeah. I mean, the movie makes sense. It's a beginning, middle, and end. They don't, and one of the things I like with the director, though, he doesn't, he assumes the people that's watching the movie smart enough to follow along, and if not, that's on you. Like, this is the story. Yep. It's all this stuff going on. I know you're going to laugh at this guy with a fire guitar and his own drum section. You know, but it's you're going to probably wonder, like, why are these five girls taking like a sponge bath in the desert in a fight? But the movie's the movie, and like, here it is. And we like to say, you know, they don't make our movies like this anymore. I don't think they never made big budget R movies like this. It's like, it's like if The Raid had like an $80 million budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But all right, to wrap up the show, that was one thing I was asking you about the numbers about, because this is an R-rated movie with a big budget, 150.
So it was second this weekend behind Pitch Perfect 2, which made more money. This Pitch Perfect 2 made more money this weekend than Pitch Perfect made, period.
I'd never heard of Pitch Perfect before.
I heard of it just because everyone talked about it, because Rebel Wilson, like, who's this fat Australian girl I keep seeing about? I never saw the movie, but enough people talked about it where I could not hear about it.
Is it a kid's movie?
No, it's a musical, more or less. Right. Like an acapella competition. It's like, best way to describe, like, Bring It On. Instead of them being cheerleaders, they're acapella singers. Yeah, so it, like I said, it's not your wheelhouse.
No.
So, but
doesn't, all right, but doesn't that fly straight in the face of, I don't know, I can't say that because I didn't see it, but it just seems to fly straight in the face of Mad Max Fury Road's feminism. Because I got to figure that the girls in this thing are probably catty with one another, or like they're too cool for school, and then they find the other a cappella groups that are probably, you know, looked down on them because of the way they look, the way they dress, but they've got the fat Australian girl, so they're all like, oh, no, I like who I am, thank you. And that's not an Australian accent, but I'm sure that's how they were talking. And then you've got Mad Max, where the chick fist fights Mad Max, and then they just shoot a bunch of guns and stuff.
Well, I will say this. The women in Mad Max probably got treated a lot better than the women in Pitch Perfect 2.
Yeah.
So actually, yeah. So Mad Max made $44.4 million, which is considered a movie that hadn't been out in 30 years. That I know, like, people know who Charlize Theron and Tom Hardy is, but it's not like they, like, super box office.
Right.
Like that, and it's an R-rated movie that just seemed crazy as can be. And considering stuff, it's like people still want to see the Avengers. Not like that was third. Like, that's pretty good. Like, that's West.
What did Avengers do?
Avengers made 39. Wow. Round up. Yeah. So it's going to, like, Furious 7 still in the movies. So it's world. It's about to hit 1.5 billion. So you're going to probably have at least two movies that hit $1.5 billion, not even counting Star Wars, this year. Yeah. So.
Well, I hope that's enough.
They already talked about making, like, they're probably enough. They already talked about sequels in this.
I thought I saw Mad Max made, it's made $100 million, though, like, total. I believe it's made $100 million, like, worldwide already. Well, now they're saying Mad Max made $65 million.
Let's see.
was like, make up your mind. Oh, international box office. They made, it made 65. All right, so it's made 100 million, so hopefully it doesn't. The scary thing with, you see these sort of things, and I know it's been 30 years, but apparently it didn't have the appeal. Unless this is one of those slow burn movies, like, well, it wasn't exactly a slow burn, but it stuck around forever, but Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Where it made a lot of money the first week, but it stayed in theaters all summer. And you haven't seen something like that in a long time. I think probably since.
Yeah, like the closest one to that has been like Furious 7. To a lower extent, Kingsman. That movie was out for like, I think that thing was in the movie for almost 3 months. Like, it's just coming out on Blu-ray. Like, it just came out on digital.
Did you see this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay, I did not. And I wanted to, but just never got around to it. And I know they're starting to talk about making a sequel to it already.
Because it made decent money, and then it ended up making a lot of money because it was just out for so long. You know, and it was just like in the top five, top three, like week after week. And usually it's a movie like, you know, you make your money your first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And by the time, like a month, it's kind of wrapping up. So, and this one will probably do well because one is no other R-rated action movie that's probably coming out
ever.
I think Terminator is PG-13. Like, they don't even do R. Yeah. They don't even do R anymore. And then two, word of mouth, like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. I know Rotten Tomatoes is not end all and be all, but 98% is still 98%.
Well, when you've got 98 for critic and 94 for audience or whatever the number is, it's still a high 90s for both. You don't see that very often.
No.
So, yeah, the fact that I waited till yesterday, a Saturday, to go see it was enough for me. I wanted to go see it Thursday, but just for the point of having to wait a half hour for a 10 o'clock movie to start, you know, I don't want to be tired watching a movie. So, and not that this movie wouldn't have woke you up anyways, good grief. But so the point of that was, I was excited to go see this just to go and tell everybody how awesome it was. And now I got to wait till Monday, and hopefully, you know, I don't know what comes out this week.
Tomorrowland.
Oh, all right.
Which what I've been hearing is people have been complaining because the market, no one knows what the movie's about. Like, I've seen the previews in the movie theater, so I know what it's about. But if you haven't seen a movie preview and you watch it, like, if you haven't seen a trailer and you just watch the TV commercials, you have no idea what that movie's about.
I watched the previews, I don't know what it's about. Somebody breaks into George Clooney's house and they drop out of the house in a bathtub and they fly off.
And
that's all I got.
Okay, well, you haven't seen the other trailer they had.
No.
So in the second trailer, it's been like, it's a whole, like, basically people from this world made the world of the future.
Oh. Right.
So, yeah, it's kind of like, and it's like a high concept, original story type thing. And, you know, the type of thing like, oh, people don't do it anymore. They just do comic books and everything like that. Why don't you do something original? Because when people do original stuff, no one wants to see it.
Right.
That's why.
I know the director's Brad Bird, so, mm-hmm. you know.
And it's still George Clooney, and it's Disney. So, but people, I don't know. I'm curious to see how that does. But after that, is the next thing to come out is like Jurassic World and Terminator in June.
Now we gotta wait for a while for Ant-Man.
Then Ant-Man and Mission Impossible.
No, Mission Impossible is next year, isn't it?
No, Mission Impossible this year.
That is this year. Oh, God. Yeah. I guess lost in all of the awesomeness of that trailer. I didn't realize it was this year.
It's later. I think it's either July or August. Like, Mission Impossible this year. That's another movie. I remember the last Mission Impossible movie came out in, like, the wintertime.
No, the last one. No, the one before that came out in winter.
No, Ghost Protocol. Yeah. No, it did not. Look it up.
I'm doing it. Hang on.
So, because I remember, like, it had a weird time. Like, it wasn't even number one its first weekend out. It was number one its second weekend.
So, 2011. Yeah, July 31st.
Wrong one.
December 21st.
Yeah, I remember that.
Didn't even realize that.
Yep. Huh. It came out December 7th everywhere else. and it came out the 21st here. And like something that came out was number one, and then Mission Impossible was like number two, and it was out for, it made a lot of money. Like it made a whole lot of money. It was out at $694 million coming out like, you know, Christmas time.
What's the, yeah, well, yeah, cause I remember purposely seeing that in IMAX. Just, wow. I think either I'm seeing too many movies or I'm just not remembering them all. Good God.
Yeah, that one stood out because it was just, I remember it had this weird release. Like, why is it coming out in December?
Yeah.
And but not Christmas. Like I can see Star Wars come out on Christmas, and I know like, well, I guess now these days you can come out for like, you know, the Hunger Games comes out in November, and the Lord of the Ring movies all came out around November, December.
Yeah, they were always the first week in December, I think, for Lord of the Rings, or second, something like that. But all right, well, listen, we can pick this convo up in the next show, because we're gonna overstay our welcome, I think. But two hearty thumbs up for Mad Max Fury Road. Go see it. If you go see it, something we didn't get into, see it in a large format screen with awesome sound. Because the screen I had wasn't IMAX, but it was a big screen, and the sound was top quality, and it was great. So, and oh, real quick, did you see 3D?
Yeah, I saw 3D.
Okay, so did I. I actually thought the 3D helped it.
Yeah.
But I know other people saying it did nothing.
Oh, no, I definitely noticed the 3D. Like, even, I know it's probably, like, you know, a wink at you, because, like, you see a steering wheel fly right at your face.
Yeah. Well, that was the one thing, the guitar rig did fly at you, which I thought was cool, and so did the cymbal. So, but you guys can figure that out on your own. The dogs here are getting on my nerves, so I got to go. So you can listen to us, you know, subscribe to Stunt Granny on whatever podcast situation you have. I don't know if you can hear that in the background. One's just never picks
yeah.
up. One never picks up a squeaky toy. That's all she's doing now. So that's their cutoff. So look, follow us, Stunt Granny, on all social media, including your podcast stuff that I just said. So I'll get out of here. We'll be at you next time, which may be a pay per view review, or it may just be us talking about other stuff. But I'm out for this week. So Shahid, take us home.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi. Remember, take your breast milk straight from the source. What a lovely day.
Ew.
We are out.